the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And it is definitely a lazy weekend day.
It is a Minnesota weekend day where it's too cold outside to go out anywhere.
Yes, a winter one. Winter edition.
Yes.
Minnesota weekend day.
I think the high was 20.
Didn't
you say the low was like -5 tonight?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's fine. We shoveled yesterday.
Yep. And I think after this, maybe we'll bake.
Or organize the comics in the basement.
Yeah.
There's piles upon piles.
Yeah.
And it goes faster with two people.
It does. And we have the short boxes to organize them into. So.
Yes.
That's also helpful.
So not quite a lazy weekend.
No.
There's still plenty to do.
Yes. And catching up on comics, I'm like a week and a half behind on current comics right now. I feel this past week was busy with me recording Head with Quasar stuff and and life in general. So I need to get back on that and see what's happening. I read some of the new ones that came out this week.
Oh, good. I think I read all of mine except for Phantom number 3, because it's the only Phantom I have. And I wasn't sure. I know he's something to do with the Flash Gordon universe.
Oh, yeah.
So it's another Mad Cave.
That's fun.
Smarg 3 is being released soon.
I saw that.
Yes, I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
It's a local comic by, art by Jesse Switters, written by Paul Holmgren.
Hallgren.
I knew I was going to mess up that vowel. And, yeah, it's awesome and fun.
Yeah, a nice creator-owned character. And just seeing local folks get to explore things and create their own universe. And you go to the local stores in the Twin Cities and there are copies of it available everywhere. So it's really cool. Sort of how there's a groundswell of support for them.
Yeah. And they're super fun to talk to at the cons. So at either Fall Con or Spring Con, whichever one we went to first, we met Jesse and he did Shaman for your Alpha Flight Jam piece. And he's done both a Richter and a North Star commission for me, and they're super good.
Yeah, his art is really good.
Yeah. Richter is just a little bit flaming. It's fine. A little bit of sass.
Yeah.
And Star Trek-wise, we'll probably need to do another modern Star Trek.
Yeah, Red Shirts ended.
Yeah.
And
a stunning reveal that I didn't like so much, but you said was good.
Yes. And new Star Trek TV is coming out in January with Starfleet Academy, and I'm like, meh, I don't know if I'm even going to watch it. It's a spinoff of Discovery, and in the far future, and I'm like, I have no attachment to this era.
I just hope they do fun aliens and make it not quite as... I feel like Discovery felt heavy-handed.
This looks like it's a CW show, which can be good. DC shows.
Yeah.
But it looks like a teen drama.
Which, do we have the patience for that anymore in our geriatric millennial old age?
No. And Paramount, I don't know who needs to tell you this, but just do a fucking show that happens, like, between the original series and TNG.
Oh, there's 100 years there.
Yeah, and you already have sort of touch points, like, do the Enterprise B, or something like that, like, or
the C.
Yeah.
We know that Captain Garrett is around.
Yep, just do something that, I realize you're reaching, and it's sci-fi, and you're trying to...
Do fan service.
Also, like, do your own thing and establish, like, oh, it's the... 3000s. Wow, how crazy is that? But
I feel like there's plenty of fodder in the Enterprise C. Like, you already have Rachel Garrett. You already have an actress who can do the part.
Yeah.
Make her own ship. We know how she ends, but sort of like Pike. But
yes.
Do great things with Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, it's very weird how they are leaning into certain areas. Like, the comics... are, I think, the stable thing that I like. I like the storytelling in the Star Trek comics right now. I sort of like how they've picked different eras.
Yeah, I was a little nervous about the modern take and the going from a continuous run into a bunch of minis.
Yeah,
But yeah, like Red Shirts is TOS type one, Homecoming is the Voyager story.
Yep.
They have different parts and different time frames. That seems to work.
And they screwed up the future after Voyager so badly with Picard. They had already painted themselves a little bit into a corner before then.
With the Romulan supernova?
Yes. Like, you already sort of screwed yourself over with 09 in terms of that. But they really triple down in terms of what happened with Picard. Just like, and it's now a dystopian future,
Which is nuts,
basically.
which doesn't feel like Star Trek at all.
No.
Like, you can have your gritty DS9
Yeah.
level of stuff, but even still, it wasn't that gritty.
No, it didn't ruin things. It didn't skew the storytelling in one direction. Like,
Like you had,
DS9 was a war.
and you had some deep storytelling and like some darker plot lines, but it wasn't dark all the time.
Yeah.
Like you had your fluff and bottle episodes to help balance it out.
Yeah.
And even when you did have the deep, the darker stories, they were character driven.
Yeah.
And I feel like that doesn't happen.
No, and Picard was like three different series, like a
Yes.
different one each season. And I would say the last one, which was fan service, was the only one that didn't do like damage
I
to the
mean,
property.
it did to Shelby.
True,
She shouldn't have been killed
but
off.
like the first season is where you had the augments.
Yeah. And the XBs.
Yes. And then you killed off like
Killed off, like,
Icheb
you
and
didn't need to kill off Icheb. You
no.
didn't need to kill off Hugh.
No.
Like, those seem unnecessary without any type of storytelling payoff.
And you didn't need to tell a Borg story at all.
Or,
Like,
well,
you could
not
reference
the.
it, but you could say like, okay, like that's an aspect of what's happening, but it
You could not tell that Borg story. Like, you can
Yes.
tell good Borg stuff with Hugh and what he was doing and his whole project to reacclimate people. Like, there's rich storytelling there,
Yeah.
but don't make them all like mindless husks.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't
It
feel
was
great.
weird. So what Paramount just—I mean, Paramount does not really make great decisions anymore as a company.
Oh, no.
So especially with who they have as like their head now, like whoever the fuck, like
Let's
true,
capitulate to the authority, the
yeah,
fascism, in
and
order to
our,
make this deal go through.
yeah, and like our new CEO is like from Truth America or whatever, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
And you can tell.
I would rather have the I forget their name, right? The family that used to own CBS Paramount.
Oh,
I
it
mean,
was.
the old dude sucked, and his daughter really didn't know what she was doing half the time, but at least they didn't like capitulate.
Yeah, like they have
Yeah.
now.
But they still set up the sucky track. So I mean, I need someone strong. They need someone like the head of Star Trek that's strong and has a vision, just like the MCU does. That's what
Yeah.
needs to happen. They need someone, and they have one person who sort of served that role, but he didn't. I don't know. There's not a unifying vision. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say.
Can we get Brian Fuller back? I mean, I love him because of Pushing Daisies,
No.
but I know there's a big Hannibal, I'm gonna eat your face, dude. That series with the guy, bad guy from Casino Royale and Hugh Dancy.
Sure.
He did that. He did Wonderfalls. He did Pushing Daisies. He's done a bunch of stuff. He was a writer on DS9. He did like some sort of like send us your scripts, and he was so good that they hired him
Yeah.
on for things from season three on after.
Yeah. And now we don't have that. We're going in this direction, and
No other characters matter.
yep. Like, Starfleet Academy, I think, is the last thing that we've known about that's been in development for a while.
Yeah.
There's nothing else that I can recall that is going to come out for TV or movies aside from them announcing, like, yeah, we're not doing another Kelvinverse movie, which we knew wasn't going to happen. It's been a decade.
Yeah.
So,
Strange New Worlds is coming out at some point.
yeah, they have two more seasons,
And
but,
then
like, there's
a six
nothing,
episode ender.
which is the fifth season.
Oh no, I was hoping it was five and then the six.
No, that's the fifth season. So, there's nothing else that they are doing. Like, they dropped Prodigy, they dropped Lower Decks, and
That one was, I mean, Lower Decks was ended well,
yeah.
but it could have kept going.
Yeah,
It was so
it's an
good.
animated property. It's like The Simpsons. The voice actors behind The Simpsons are ancient at this point. Like, they are. They truly are. They were middle-aged when they started
Yeah.
in like 88. So,
The Simpsons is that old?
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought it was
The
92 or 90.
voice talent started on the Tracey Ullman show with the shorts.
Oh.
That was in the late 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you don't need to worry about that sort of thing in animation.
Yeah.
And with short seasons like there are now, like they're doing 10 episodes every year and a half
Like
or
they had
so.
to, that did well with the continuous thread
Yeah.
aspect in the later seasons without sacrificing character development or like still the fun side missions. Like everything was sort of ancillary to give you that depth and those good stories and that good character development.
Right.
So,
Yeah. Anyway,
and
this is a Star Trek episode. If
it
you haven't
is.
caught on yet.
And for all the doom and gloom that we just went through, I really enjoyed two out of these three. The first one is a Klingon one, which sort of.
It's issue 7 of Star Trek Early Voyages, and it promises your new guide to the Star Trek universe, and it's not in here.
It's
There's
not.
no fucking guide to the Star Trek universe.
Was it an insert, do you think? And it was taken out
No,
or fell out?
I don't think so.
Because we've got the flap with the
Yeah.
characters on it, but it doesn't have all the characters that are highlighted, and some of the descriptions are very brief.
Yes.
So,
But
like.
there's nothing in here aside from the regular ads, the bullpen bulletins, which never pertain to the
Oh.
Star Trek comics, and the letters page, which I didn't even read the, like, they are printing letters that take up an entire column. I don't have time to read all that.
Oh.
Sorry, Matt Bowers of Sacramento, California, I'm not reading your letter.
I'm just surprised that for Ensign Spock, he gets one sentence. Number one gets one sentence. At least the yeoman, Mia Colt, gets a whole Captain's Yeoman. Colt was a late addition to the crew, arriving after the death of the former Captain's Yeoman and best friend to Pike, Dermot Cusack. Colt first proved her worth with the to the captain on Talos IV. Like, that's a good blurb.
Yeah.
Dr. Boyce, one sentence. Lieutenant Seeta Mohindus, one sentence. They have an opportunity to fill that out a bit more.
So the title of issue 7 is The Flat Gold Forever, and we see the shuttlecraft Icarus going in for a crash landing. It crashes on an agricultural world called Prairie.
Yes.
It's serving Little House, and
It sort of is.
there is this crew on a harvester, and they're really worried that the shuttle crashing is going to ignite their entire crop and ruin them.
I mean, for a shuttle to be named Icarus is a bold choice.
Yep. And someone goes over and.
Her name is Claire, and they're like, don't go. And she's like, there's someone that might be hurt. It doesn't matter if I have water tanks. Like,
Yeah, the rest of
other.
them are following with water tanks to put out the fire.
Yeah, the skimmer she's on, like, she has good planning skills. If someone's hurt, they don't have to take a water carrier out of the loop
Yeah.
in order to render first aid.
So there is one person that is on the shuttle. She's like, it's okay, you're safe now. And Captain Pike is like, no, I'm not. And we go up, and it's a D7. You love Klingon ships.
Ugh.
And they're like, okay, well, what happened to him? Where'd he go? What?
Yeah, like.
There's some strife on the Klingon ship, which we sort of need to care about.
There's a commander under the captain who was like, well, We didn't lose him. There's some weird magnetosphere
Yeah.
shenanigans happening.
He's on the fourth world.
And someone else is like, but it is this person's fault, and the captain kills this
Yeah.
person.
The wrong person, as it turns out. So this is the captain is Kaj. You may remember him from issue two. We definitely didn't, because we're like, have we met this Klingon? And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Because all the Klingon stories feel the same.
But yeah.
But at least this is a little bit more intriguing because the person who's like, it was that person's fault, then goes to the commander is just like, you owe me.
Yeah.
Like, there's some fun intrigue, and that guy looks like he was sweating it.
Yeah.
But also, this Kaj guy, there's some reference in here to him being embarrassed in front of his crew and being defeated by Pike. And I feel like if it was a stronger crew, they probably would have just killed him and moved on with their
Yeah.
lives. But he's still in command and he is obsessed.
The Enterprise is at Deep Space Station K-12 to figure out what's going on, and they're like a regular supply thing?
It looks like the same sort of starbase from the Tribbles.
Yes, which I think is K-7.
I think so too. Which is so fun.
Number one is in command and is chatting with
Admiral.
Mahern
Yeah.
from Starfleet Command, and they're like, oh yeah, well, Captain Pike's on his way. We got your call that his dad is sick, and he's getting there as fast as he can. And the Admiral's like, I didn't call you.
He's an
And
Andorian.
I just talked to Joe Pike an hour ago, and he's fine.
Yeah, Captain Pike's father apparently is fine. But there's some tense stuff between them, is what we get from the Strange New Worlds TV show.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so we're back on Prairie, and this is where we sort of get the farmer saying, we don't want Starfleet here, we don't trust Starfleet. We're just trying to live our lives.
Yeah, they don't. What has exploration gotten you?
Yep.
War, plague, death. We just want to be here and tend our crops and live a quiet existence.
And Pike is like, well, if you can get me to like your comm unit, I can call the Enterprise and be out of your hair real quick.
Yeah, he's trying to leave.
And she's like, no, we don't dump our grain for another quarter.
Yeah.
So, and our local comm unit is not strong enough, so sorry.
There's.
Like, what do you expect him to do that and just hang out with you? Like,
But they have the idea that there's another harvester that has a better comm unit.
and
And.
they use some macro binoculars from Star Wars to look in the distance because there's a big plume of smoke. And she's like, oh no.
The Klingons are there and they're killing everyone. And they must have zeroed in on that comm unit.
And they get there within a panel. All of a sudden, they're there.
Oh, I thought they beamed up, the Klingons started beaming onto their
Oh,
harvester.
that's not clear. I don't
Yeah.
think. By this point in the story, I'm like, oh, well,
Klingons.
yeah. So there's a battle. We see that Kaj is behind the whole fake admiral call.
Fake Admiral transmission. He has these little death squads going down trying to kill Pike. And they're not very good at their jobs. So they're defeated by Claire and Pike. Claire used to be a science officer on the. Oh no, I just read it. USS MacArthur.
Something.
And there was a big battle with the Tholians, and she left Starfleet. But she remembered her training, and so she was a big help to Pike in this battle. They drop a whole grain bin on top of the Klingons. Pike tries to escape in a skimmer, and all of a sudden, there's Klingons popping out of the corn. And firing on him.
Oh, it wasn't the Tholians. The Chakoon.
Oh, that vaguely rings a bell.
It doesn't for me.
Oh. But yeah, the Klingons are popping out, they're firing on him, and Kaj is like, they have him pinned down, we know where he is.
And
Use the phasers to
why
unlock.
dispersal?
Yeah, fire on. Our dude's comm signals.
And he's like, the sacrifice is worth it. And you see just people disintegrating.
Yeah, but not Pike.
Pike he gets away, and
And
then the Enterprise shows up and blasts the Klingon ship.
until they retreat, and Kaj, I'm sure, shakes his fist and gnashes his teeth.
Yes.
And it turns out it was an anonymous tip Like they tried tracking the fake signal.
And it was too scrambled at that point.
Yeah, so I feel it was one of the underlings of
Yeah, it's a
Kaj.
Klingon. And in a little postscript, we see that Claire's rejoined Starfleet, except now she's in Command Gold.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And.
No, that's number one.
Oh.
But she has rejoined
She
Starfleet.
did. Never mind.
Pike is supporting her re-entry application.
And that's the story.
Yeah,
It was okay.
it was fine.
Yeah.
It's a Klingon one.
Yeah.
Number eight is much more fun.
Number eight is. It has Dr. Boyce on the cover and says, Dr. Boyce, dot, 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 killer.
Yeah.
So the chief medical officer, we have the same flap. There's still no guide to the Star Trek universe.
And this would have been a perfect issue to put something in the character flap, for example, Dr. Boyce, that is alludes to all the issues that he's been having with the voices in his head. And like, there's been something going on, and I feel like you could put that in the amount of blank space in his blurb area.
Formerly served under Captain April, Boyce is a confidant to the captain. That's it. What's going on here?
Like, you could have just slid a little something something for us
Hey,
in
Bobby
there.
Chase, editor, you didn't want to have them fill this out a bit more?
I don't know, maybe it's a thing to
Maybe it's just something they have in the file and they're like, okay, include it again.
like we
Update, like, don't update the first page of the flap, update the second in the previously in.
because those are all
Yeah.
updated, and maybe they just don't want to give too much away.
Maybe. All right, so we see some forces show up. It's Magistrate Holon of the Nada Prime Judicial Bureau arresting him for premeditated murder.
Yeah.
And Boyce is like, yep, I did it. Take me in.
Yeah, there's very little resistance. Nurse Carlotti is very perplexed by what's happening and
Yeah.
shocked. Apparently, we learn late in a few pages that, oh, she was the one that the Tholians had attacked her
Oh.
colony, and then she joined Starfleet Medical.
Yes, because Boyce helped her or something.
Yes, helped her with some of the PTSD
Yeah.
from surviving that attack.
So she basically tells a bunch of this to the captain on the ship where they're like, we need to help our chief medical officer.
Who has been there, and the Enterprise has been assigned to that planet to help contain a plague. So
Yes.
that's what they were doing. And it turns out that there's evidence of the doctor injecting this wealthy merchant with
A
way
lethal
too a
dose.
lethal dose of the anti-plague
Yes.
medication.
Like, he went in there after hours, like, did a little sneak in.
There was a little bit of a scuffle. And yeah, he gets a lawyer. It's a Vulcan.
Yes, it's the Vulcan ambassador to this planet.
Which I was, it will all make sense, but I was a little surprised to see a Vulcan here, were you?
A little bit? I
We.
mean, it makes sense that there are ambassadors on different worlds within the Federation.
Yeah, like we've seen that in Deep Space Nine with Bloxana and that great episode in season one. Oh, I love it so much.
And this old Vulcan gives Spock shit, and he's like, oh, so you chose the Federation. Your father must be disappointed in you.
Yeah, well, oh, the bubble did a good job of it, and then Spock is giving it right back.
Yes, he does.
He's like, "Oh, you chose the Starfleet over the Vulcan Science Academy."
Yeah.
And Spock is like, "Well, I have zero regrets,
Yep.
so shove it, old man."
By. Elsewhere on the ship, Nurse Carlotti is saying, yeah, I knew something was wrong with Dr. Boyce. He seemed to be talking to himself a lot, but you know.
And Yeoman Colt is like, it's true. On my very first date, it's the first thing I noticed about
It
him.
was he is muttering to himself.
Yes.
So the Vulcan ambassador is talking with Boyce, and Boyce is like, no, I did it. I did it on purpose.
Yep. And
That's
the
it.
Vulcan is like, they have video surveillance of you doing this. This is not looking great.
Yeah, and the ambassador tells Pike, yeah, they have a lot of evidence, so
Best we can do is represent him well
yeah.
and like afford him his rights as someone who's accused.
And in his cell at night, Dr. Boyce has a psychological break.
Yeah, he does. And he.
And the guards go in to check on him, and he overpowers them and escapes.
So he has a mental brick and then breaks out.
Yes.
And he goes, and then we get more dialogue here. And he goes, and there's a cliffhanger scene with the Vulcan lawyer
Yeah.
ambassador.
And in between, we just get more exposition, giving some context to Nurse Carlotti and her relationship with Dr. Boyce.
Yes. Which is nice to see. Like, it's nice to see why these characters matter to each other.
Yeah.
It brings them a little bit off the page.
Yes, it's the 90s ethos of how to do Star Trek.
To make you actually invested in them.
Yes, like invest time in character.
So the dude from the judicial, their
Bureau.
bureau, is goes in guns a-blazing. He is just ready to execute Dr. Boyce on the spot.
Yes, the Enterprise crew being Pike, Spock, and Carlotti beam down, and in the nick of time, Pike prevents Dr. Boyce from being shot, and there's a short Star Trek fight where there's some punching.
There's not the Federation two-fisted punch, though.
No.
But we do get the Vulcan being like, are we done with this? Can we move on to the
Like
explanation?
I have reasons. If you want to listen rather than punch, I can help you out right now.
And I hope that that dude feels very silly.
Yeah.
So the Vulcan explains, well, tries to give some context, like
He's like, "Hey, you know Katras? You know
the
Vulcan Katras?" And we as the readers are like, "We've seen Star Trek 3." And Spock is like, "Yes, I'm familiar."
it's the soul, and especially important for Vulcans is when someone dies, their Katra, like you sort of mind meld with them before they die and
And
then bring their Katra back to the home world.
yes, you bring it to like a spiritual dump.
Wouldn't put it that way.
And
So that's the framework, the analogy for what's happening with Dr. Boyce, because he was a young medic decades ago, and there was a shuttle that was shot down by some Orion raiders, and
there were some crispy people in there.
those three people survived just a few moments, but long enough to
Touch him,
touch him
but
and
not that way.
give him their version of a Katra, their
Yes.
souls. So these folks have been bouncing around in Dr. Boyce's head, sort of driven insane by the loneliness and the fact that they're trapped in someone else's skull. And turns out the guy that was murdered was the dude who organized the Orion raiders that killed them and had been basically oppressing their people for a while.
The serendipity of it all.
Yeah, so when Dr. Boyce was treating him originally, those three voices were like, he
Murder.
killed us. Yes. It's serving Tisiphone from Hades when they just say murderer.
It's giving Gollum.
Yes. So they took over Boyce's body.
Boyce was a regular Smeagol. He
No.
just had three Gollums.
Yes. So the golems took him over, murdered the dude who had killed them and killed who knows how many other people.
And then
And then the
the
Vulcan was
is like,
like,
I have a USB drive here. I downloaded them into it.
it's a mind crystal that I just happen to have.
And I'm gonna bring them back
Yeah.
and put them in that
So that they
planet
can
spiritual dump.
so that they can be returned to their people in peace.
Sure.
We'll go with that.
And then the last page is just Boyce and Pike commiserating.
And Boyce is like, I don't know what to do. Like, they've been in my head for so long. I've always had them to talk to.
Get some friends.
And Pike is like, I'm your friend, talk to
You should
me.
get Facebook, Dr. Boyce. Radicalize yourself.
Oh, seriously, I only open Facebook for rabbit rescue stuff
And
and
half the time it just upsets me. It makes me mad at people for abusing animals, so.
oh, well, I mean, I'm volunteering for the next
Yeah.
romp and spa because Clyde needs a shave.
Yes.
But that and the Star Trek gaze and the Star Trek trivia, like those are the only reasons I still have a Facebook.
Yeah.
They popped up with a memory of like 20 years ago, and I was like, this is fucking
I
offensive.
remember what, because it was just colleges at first. And I
Yes.
remember when it rolled out to my college in 2005, and it was a big deal
It
when you
was.
could get the Facebook, because it's called the Facebook.
And it's like a picture of me, it must have been freshman or sophomore year of college, looking derpy and silly. And it's like, I didn't need this. This is very offensive telling me that it was 20 years ago that this
So
happened.
Dr. Boyce is going to join Facebook to find some friends.
Yes.
He's going to join a classic cars Facebook group or something, whatever boomers do,
Oh.
in terms of Facebook groups. The Linda Ronstadt ones are gross because all the old dudes are like, she's so hot. Look at this picture of her. Look, yeah. And now what for groups like that, there have to be rules about AI because all these fucking old fogies were like, look at her, she's so beautiful. And people in the comments are like, that's not her, that's AI. Because, of course, AI, it like Linda Ronstadt, very beautiful woman, but she doesn't have Dolly Parton breasts. But the AI generator sure thinks she does. So it's
Ew.
like, here's her in a tight top, and it's like,
That never
that's
existed.
not Linda Ronstadt.
Take your
That's
AI slop and leave.
get the fuck out. So every time I run across that on Facebook, I just report it all to the moderators.
Oh, good.
Okay.
So,
Issue nine.
is my favorite. We go to Nano's homeworld. Is Lyria burning? So, Nano is one of the Lyrians, and they have a very particular culture. So,
Yes.
it was referenced in an earlier issue that he's the only one in Starfleet.
He's a one-off. They created him to go off-world.
Because their society is so perfectly balanced, everyone has their role. So, you don't have a surplus population. Like, you. If someone is approaching old age, then they start the process to gestate a new person
Yes.
and they fill that role, so there's sort of like a seamless transition. And what we get here is Lyria, and someone is lighting a candle, and he's like, "Oh, come into the light, be not afraid." And there's a big, scary Lyrian face and fire. And
That's one Lyrian down.
it's Illyrian down, and like murder doesn't happen. So, back on the Enterprise, Nano gets a message and it's just for him. And he's reporting to number one, who's in the captain's chair, and it's like, I need to talk to the captain right now. It's like very out of character. Even Tyler at the con at the navigation station, the checkoff spot, is wondering, like, that's weird. So, Pike is in the shooting range and he's very good at what he does. And Nano goes up and says, "There's a crisis on Lyria. I have been recalled to attend. Starfleet has authorized the Enterprise to convey me home." And Pike is like, "Oh, yeah, sure. Like, happy to bring you home. How long are we staying before we ship out with you again?" And Nano's like, "Nope, I need to stay there forever."
Forever.
And Pike misses. Miss 0.001% accuracy, as opposed to his 97.8 from before. Like
That's when you roll a one.
it critical fail. So Pike is debriefing with Colt and number one, and Colt's like, I just got here. Tell me what the deal is." So we get the context of the society, and there's this telepathic symmetry concept that we didn't know of before. So we knew they were telepathic because Nano like blasted a Klingon away in one of the previous issues. Oh, not a Klingon, the angry Vulcan when they boarded the ship. And so it's like a telepathic collective.
Is this where they also cover, like, who can be the new communications officer?
I think that's a random page of dialogue to break up the Lyrian stuff, but they try and they're
They're like,
like,
there's no one suitable for this role on the ship.
which he can't be the only communications officer. You have more than one shift. There should be three.
There should be.
Maybe they don't have a fourth. I suppose that could be the case. So Nano is going to fill this person's spot in the shared consciousness. And it's fascinating. The society is very reclusive. There was contact made 30 years ago, and the Lyrians were like, "Yeah, we'll join. We will send you one of us to be the the face.
Yeah.
Leave us alone, but we'll still be a part of you, and we're sending one of us
Take
to,
this spare.
yes, to take the spare. And so Nano is looking out the window at a table all by himself, and the other crew are like, we're gonna miss him. And I love this moment.
Yeah.
It's a good page of them being like, what are we gonna do without him? He's our friend. We should have a like a send-off party. You can tell him how you feel about him then.
Yeah.
And Cinta Mohindus is like, oh, it was my dad that was on the commanding the ship that made first contact with them. And it's sort of like my dad's fault that Nano has never been with his people because there's no room for him. He's always been the face, the outside facing one to go off and explore. Like, it's my family's fault that he's so separate from everyone. So she's feeling really bad about it. And so she goes to see him in his quarters. There is this great picture of Duncan and,
R.I.P. to that hottie.
yes, Engineer Moves with Burning Grace is in the picture. It looks like Tyler and Nurse Carlotti, and they were playing baseball, and Nano has like a backwards baseball cap. It's a great, like, it's a fun thing that they
Yeah,
put
so
in.
he's packing up his quarters.
And it just feels very sad. And he's like, this is strange. I've never been on my planet for very long. I was deliberately created to be an outsider. Returning home should be a dream come true. My people want me back. But now that moment has arrived, I'm unsure. The ellipses in his dialogue are doing a lot of the emotional lifting. Because he's like, thank you, you are kind. Like, I think he wants to say more, but he just settles on kind.
Oh.
And now he is unsure. Like, he has a lot of feelings.
Because he likes what he does.
Yeah, he's very good at it. And so they beam down. There's an adjunct Coda, speaker for the Lyrian Unity, which is like a fun,
Yeah.
like, alien culture
Name.
yeah,
Yeah.
the Unity. So they're like, welcome home, Nano.
And they're like, yo, join society. Thanks for taking this hole. We've also had like two more open up, so.
It's nice that Pike got the whole bridge crew to go down.
Yeah.
Like, Nano's closest people
Yeah.
are there to see him off. And
So,
they're like,
except Duncan.
oh, yes. So they do some exploring. Like, as a reclusive society, there's not a whole lot of humans that get to go see this planet. And they're like, so, Nano, you've not been around to flex your telepathic muscles? So we're gonna start you in telepathic kindergarten. Lift this gigantic rock. And like, he doesn't know how to coordinate his strengths with the other Lyrians, and it almost falls on them all. But luckily, Spock and Pike fire their phasers, like you could in the Star Trek 25th anniversary computer game,
Oh.
and destroy the rock. And he's like, this is really hard. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not used to this, like, being around my people, being telepathic. It's very strange, and I'm struggling. Meanwhile, we have number one and Tyler speaking to someone in like a sculpture garden, and he's like, I'm only here to tend the greenery. Please don't talk to me. And this big angry face shows up and flames, flames, this poor gardener. So they witness another death, and then they're like,
And they're Starfleet, and they're like, this doesn't seem
right at
natural.
all. And Tyler's like, oh, I'm sorry, it was Mohindus, who was there with Tyler, not number one. The hair was number one styled, though.
Oh.
So Tyler's like, I didn't see the face that Sita saw, but the way the flames moved to engulf that poor person wasn't natural. And Nano comes in and is like, I need to talk to you. Like, everything I've been trying to do with this shared consciousness and to relearn these vestigial abilities that I haven't used since childhood, like, it's terrible. I'm not sure if I want this. They made me to be an outside face, so like coming back in feels wrong. And there's just something wrong underneath it all, which makes sense for telepathic shared consciousness, that if there's an consciousness, there's also an unconscious. So they do like a whole probe psionic modifier thing with Nano to try and figure out what is happening. They learn about this unconscious fear that the Lyrians have of the outside. That's why they're so reclusive. It's why they don't participate in anything. The scary face shows up and Cinta throws the amplifier at the scary face, dispersing it for now. But then we get this whole confrontation with the adjunct of, like, you're invading our privacy. This is too much. But then Nano comes in with the realization, like, this is our killer. It's the blazing embodiment of our deep-rooted fear of the unknown, hidden in our shared unconscious for centuries. It feeds off our phobia of others, of other worlds beyond our own. To defeat it, we must confront ourselves. And there's this, I don't know, I like this story because it's like a deep dive into a culture. It's like things are not all perfect on the surface. And Nano gets a hero moment of like, I will come back so that I can share what I've learned with the shared consciousness
I have to go back every few months.
and we can confront our fear together. Like, it's a cooperative healing moment for this whole culture and planet. And I feel like that's what Star Trek is all about. So that's why, as soon as I finished this, I was like, I love this issue. So, yeah, Nano gets to stay on the ship. Life on Lyria is not for me, but I can still play a role in the Unity. I am to rejoin the Enterprise, but will return home periodically to share what I have seen and experienced. This way, it will dispel their fears of what is out there. And he says, incidentally, thank you for your prompt action earlier. It seems the Mohindus family continues to have a profound impact on my life. And Sita's like, oh, the guilt. And Nano's like, oh, no. Like, ha ha ha. Thanks to one Mohindus, I was given life, and thanks to another, I kept it.
That's nice.
Yeah, because without the father going to that planet, Nano wouldn't have existed. So what Sita was interpreting as, or like manifesting as guilt, Nano was really appreciative. So.
Yeah, I agree. It's the best of the three issues that we
yeah.
covered. And
Maybe the best so far of early voyages.
yeah.
It's the quintessential, like, ideal track story for
Yes.
me.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was great. I want there to be more Lyrians.
Yes. But we
I guess
probably
there
won't.
aren't based on their society, but like, Nano should still be floating around somewhere. There should always be one, at least, joining Starfleet and doing stuff.
Yeah, there should be, with
So,
how the culture is set up.
yeah.
All right.
So that's our take.
Yeah.
Give us the cultural deep dives. Give us good story.
Don't give us Klingons.
Don't give us Klingons and don't kill off beloved characters.
Yes. Don't do that. All right, everyone, thanks for joining us, and we will be back next time with something, Alpha
Alpha
Flight,
Flight.
maybe, or current Star Trek, whatever.
Oh yeah, we should do a current one and recap what we've learned in the past month.
Yeah. All right, everyone.
Be well.
Bye.